Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Let us now hear the word of God. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you that you have revealed yourself, you've made yourself known in a special way in the Holy Scriptures. Oh Lord, we could listen to many voices today. We could be drawn away from you by many sources of knowledge and information. But we ask, Father, that you would focus our attention on Holy Scripture, because we know it is your word, inspired by you, and that you speak to us through your written revelation. And so we ask, Father, that you would do that tonight. We pray that this study would not be for purely academic purposes, that we would not just learn some information, but that our minds and our lives would be transformed and shaped by your holy word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Life has many contrasts, bitter and sweet, light and dark, hot and cold, pain and pleasure. And you could think of any number of things that are contrasting in life, things that are different from each other. People are also a picture in contrast as well. You've known in your lifetime many different kinds of people, people that are very different, people whose attitude and disposition is one thing, and then you meet or know someone else whose attitude and disposition is something completely different. Have you ever met someone that was just characterized in a peculiar manner by pride and arrogance? I thought this afternoon as I studied about who are those people in my life that I would describe in that way, and there were certain people that came to mind instantly. And then I thought of other people in my life that when I think of them, I think of faith. I think of a humble faith in God and in his word. And then if you think about yourself, you are a picture of contrast too, aren't you? If you're a believer, God has taken you from the place of pride, which is how we're all born. We all come into the world, sweet little babies, as proud as they come, because that comes with original sin, with a fallen nature, that pride, that fierce pride that expresses itself in a variety of different ways. And what did God do for you when he saved you? When he rescued you from your sin, he took you from that place of pride and he humbled you. He humbled you and he made you a person of faith, someone with a humble dependence upon God and his word. This text before us this evening, Habakkuk 2:4, is a contrast. It's a contrast between two different people and two different ways of life. The one is characterized by pride. The other is characterized by faith. The one is unrighteous before God, and the other is righteous before God. The one is destined for judgment. The other is destined for life. The Lord here tells us in Habakkuk 2:4 that the proud are crooked in heart, unrighteous before him, but those who are just will live by faith. There are certain statements in Scripture that encapsulate things that are basic and fundamental. There are certain places where you go in the Bible and the statement that is made there is axiomatic. It is fundamental. And this is one of those places in the Bible. This is one of those texts in the Bible here in Habakkuk 2:4. It sets before us a vital truth. Now, if you remember in our introduction to the book of Habakkuk, we said that this is basically the central text in the book, chapter 2, verse 4. Now, that is not to say that this one's inspired and the others are not. No, all of Scripture is God-breathed. It's all inspired by God, down to every jot and every tittle, down to every stroke of the pen. So we're not saying one is inspired and the other is not. That's not what I mean. But this text is the central thrust of the book, if you will. It is the place that God brings Habakkuk to teach him the lesson that is what we might call the primary lesson of the book of Habakkuk. And so we come here to Habakkuk 2:4, and we're going to spend a few weeks unpacking this text and thinking about its meaning. and studying it in detail. But what we have here in Habakkuk 2:4 is basically a contrast between two different types of people and two different ways of life. So tonight we're going to look at the first part. It's the first half of the statement, and that is the proud. We have a description of the proud man, the man who is not upright. He is unrighteous. He is puffed up or proud. So that's what we're going to start with. And then, of course, secondly, we'll move on to the last part of the verse, which is a description of the just man or woman, the righteous person who lives by faith. So this is where we're headed. We're going to compare and contrast these two in this verse. Now let's first go back a little bit and see where we've been here in Habakkuk. And let's go back to verses 1 through 3 and just refresh where we've been in our most recent studies. In chapter 2, verse 1, the prophet is awaiting an answer from God. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Why is that? Because at the end of chapter 1, Habakkuk is asking these questions of God. He's been asking God about why and how these things could be. How can he use the Chaldeans in light of his holy and righteous character? And then he's waiting for an answer. And then the answer comes in verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So the Lord tells the prophet to write down the vision that he's going to give him. And remember, we said a vision here is revelation from God. It's a word from God. God's going to make things known to Habakkuk, and he wants him to write it down. And then he encourages him to be patient and wait and know that this word from God, this vision, is sure and is certain, even though it will take time for it to come to pass. And so we took from that an understanding of the nature of the word of God, and that the word of God is sure and certain, it's trustworthy, and we should wait for its fulfillment. We should trust God to bring it to pass, even though we have to wait for it. Now, in verse 4 and what follows, we have what we might call the vision proper. Here is the vision that Habakkuk is to write down, that he is to inscribe on tablets. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And then following the rest of chapter 2, this is the vision that God makes known to Habakkuk that he wants him to write down. Now let's think about the link here between 1 through 3 and 4. We just pointed out one of them, but to point out another, we're going to focus here in verse 4 after we talk about the proud man. We're going to talk about the righteous man living by faith, right? So we're going to talk about faith. So let's connect what Habakkuk has been told in the first three verses, particularly verse 3, and what is stated there in verse 4. Now back up to verse 3, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. And we talked about waiting last time. What does waiting on the fulfillment of the word of God require? It requires faith, right? It requires that you live by faith, by trust in God and in his word. So you can see the connection here. Habakkuk's been told to wait on God's word to come to pass, and that requires this living by faith that is spoken of at the end of verse 4. So as we've already stated, the first thing we have to note here is the contrast between two different people and two different ways of life. Let's look at it again. Verse 4, behold the proud. What is the contrast to the proud? It is the just in the last half of the verse. The proud man is an unrighteous man before God. And the righteous man is a humble man who lives in dependence upon the Lord. It's also a contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright. Upright, that's almost a synonym for righteousness, for right conduct before God. And then the just, another word or a synonym for just is righteous. So when we speak about the just, we're talking about the righteous person, the righteous man, or the righteous woman. So hopefully you can see the contrast here between these two different peoples, types of people, and the way they live. So now let's focus our attention on the proud person that is described in the first half of the verse. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. First of all, notice the word behold. Why do we have that kind of word in Scripture? It's to draw your attention to something, right? It's to capture your attention and say, so to speak, sit up and pay attention to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Pay close attention to what I'm going to give you now. And that's how the Lord begins this message to Habakkuk. All right, so the first thing we have here is the description of this person as the proud. Now, this word that's translated the proud is a word in Hebrew, a fall, and it means to swell or to be puffed up. To give you an illustration of how the word is used in the Old Testament, this word is used to describe the tumors that God afflicted the Philistines with in the Old Testament. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant went to the Philistines, and they had it with them for a time, and they had these afflictions, and there were these tumors that God afflicted them with. What does a tumor do? It swells, it puffs up, it grows. Well, the word is here being used figuratively to speak of pride, to speak of someone being swelled or puffed up in their attitude, right, in their mindset, and that is being proud. This word is also used in Numbers 14:44. That text says, but they presumed a fall to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. What was that about? That was the story, if you remember, when the spies came back from going into the promised land and they brought back the evil report, said, we can't do it. The people are too big, walled cities, all that sort of thing. And judgment came upon them for that. And God promised them that they were going to wander in the wilderness. Well, what did some of the people do after that? They said, oh, no, we'll do it now. We'll go into the promised land. What did they do? They were swelled. They presumed in their pride to go into the promised land anyway. And you know the story. They were defeated, and many of them were killed because of that. Well, that's the word that's used here. That's translated the proud. It's the person who is swelled or puffed up with pride. Now, who is he talking about? Who are the proud ones that the Lord is talking about? Now, we're going to expand out and think about this generally, because it is a general statement. So this applies not just to the people in the context here, but to all men and women who are proud. But let's think about it in the context. Who might the proud be in this statement here within the book of Habakkuk? And I'll let you guys answer this one. Who do you think the proud are? In verse 4. Yes, and who would that be, Annie? Yes, the Babylonians. Very good. The Chaldeans. Remember, we've already had a description of what these people are like that the Lord is using to judge and correct Judah. So go back to chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse 7. And this is in the middle of a description of the Chaldeans. Verse 7 says, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Remember what we said that meant? They're a law to themselves. They are their own standard. They make their own decisions and they are answerable to no one and to no standard but themselves. What is that? That's a manifestation of pride. Or drop down to verse 10. They scoff at kings and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. What is that about? It's about the Babylonians coming in, and they are so strong, they are so powerful, they are so good at warfare that they laugh. They laugh at the kings and the princes who think they can protect themselves from the Babylonians, because they're just going to come in and they're going to smash them. They're going to destroy them. Well, that is another manifestation of pride, right? So the proud here are the Babylonians that the Lord is using to bring judgment upon Judah. We've used this illustration before, but let's recall it again. Nebuchadnezzar. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel? At a certain point in the book of Daniel, he's out surveying his palace and his kingdom, And what does he do? He says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" What is that? It's an expression of pride. It's an expression of a swelled or a puffed up heart and mindset. So, who are the proud here in verse 4? They are the Babylonians. Now, how are they described, these proud Chaldeans? "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him." What does that mean? I believe the basic essence of the statement here is to say that the Babylonians, in their pride, they are unrighteous before God. They are crooked before God because of that pride. That their disposition, being that of pride, makes them lack that uprightness, that righteousness that God requires in man. They are morally and spiritually crooked, and that is due to their pride. So that is how they are described. Now we have here the description of the proud and his unrighteousness before God. In the context, this statement applies to the Babylonians, as we just pointed out. However, this statement should not be restricted to them alone, because this is a description of all humanity apart from God. This is a description of all people apart from being saved and redeemed through Jesus Christ. What is true of the proud Babylonian here is true of all men and women who are swelled with their own ideas, swelled with pride, and puffed up. And it's important to understand that before God, pride and unrighteousness go together. Those two, you can't have pride and not have unrighteousness, and to be unrighteous is to be proud. They are so closely connected with one another. Now, in our society and in the world in general, because it's fallen, pride is often valued, actually. A self-assertive kind of person, a self-confident person, the type of person who ignores God and his ways and makes decisions for themselves about what's right and wrong, what they'll do, what they'll not do, that sort of thing. But before God, this pride is unrighteousness. Now, when we talk about pride, we have to try and identify it. I just gave a few descriptions of it. We talked about this in our study of 1 Peter, but pride is tricky, isn't it? Pride is tricky to diagnose and deal with because it likes to hide and mask itself. It likes to make excuses and justifications to say that it is not what it really is. What are some manifestations of pride in your life and in mine that maybe on the surface you might not say that's pride, but after you think about it for a little bit, you say, nope, that's very much sinful pride? Honey?
Anger.
Anger? How is anger related to pride? Okay, when we don't get our way, sure, we get angry. Has that ever happened to any of you saints? Yes, perhaps it has, a time or two. What about selfishness? Boy, I see this in my heart and life more and more. It's like the more God grows me and matures me, the more I see that, which is really that, right? Isn't selfishness just a manifestation, just a fruit, the root of which is pride? A focus on self, a focus on me, rather than on God and on other people? What are some other manifestations of pride? We don't want to be the person in the first half of the verse, it's important that we understand what this looks like so that we can repent of it and put it to death. in our own lives? Cindy? Okay. I suppose we could say, in all fairness, sometimes that is used in a good way, right? Independence. However, you're right. There is a certain type of independence that's a bad independence. It's a bad kind of self-sufficiency, we might say. Don't want to rely on God. Don't want to rely and, you know, look to help, get help from other people, but we rely on ourselves in pride. What about this one? Do you ever find it hard to admit wrong? Do you ever find it really difficult to say I was wrong and express in specific terms how you were wrong? Or am I the only one that finds that difficult to do? No, you probably find that difficult to do as well. Yet, a failure or a refusal to admit wrong when you know you're wrong, perhaps with your spouse, perhaps with a fellow church member, or whatever the case may be. Dave?
I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong as long as I can explain why I wasn't so bad.
Yep, that helps. Massage it a little bit, you know?
Also, on Cindy's independent spirit, I want to just add kind of a footnote to that. I think one way that we have pride manifests in our culture a lot, and you know, certainly in our personal lives, is having a better idea than God. It's substituting thought. So it's independent thought, independent of God. God says, you know, obey the magistrate and the light's red, and there's nobody you can see for a mile in that direction. In that direction, the lights continue to be red. My wife reminds me that the providence of God says, keep your foot off the accelerator.
Sure. So, I'm glad you said that. So, impatience, yes, can certainly be a manifestation of pride. To go back to the garden, what's going on in the Garden of Eden? Now, we could identify what Adam and Eve did wrong, what their sin was, probably from a number of different angles, but I think this is primary, because I believe what the essence of pride is God says, don't eat from the tree. In the day you eat from it, you will surely die. And the serpent says, you will not die. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And Adam and Eve say, you know what? I think we can make this decision for ourselves. I think we can decide for ourselves what's right and wrong, what's best for us. And you see that in our culture today. And it's not just our culture today. It's in every time period and in every culture where people have God's revelation and say, nah, I'll do it my own way. I'll make my own decisions about right and wrong, about good and evil. I'll be my own Lord. I'll be my own boss. Where does that come from? Or what is that? It's pride. Yeah. Anybody else want to add? Huh?
What do your children have on the
difference? Uh-oh. Stubbornness. Yeah. Pretty much goes with this one, doesn't it? Or many times does. A refusal to admit wrong is stubbornness. Sure. Yeah, what would we call that? We'd call that kind of exalting yourself above others. And you think of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple, in the story Jesus tells in Luke 18. The Pharisee is full of pride. He's full of pride because he thinks that he's righteous. And he's blind to his own sin and his own unrighteousness before God. And he despises the tax collector because he sees himself as better than him. So yes, he exalts himself above this other person and sees himself as a cut above someone else. And we all do that, don't we? I mean, we see people in life and society, and you don't even necessarily have to be like, okay, now I'm going to start thinking that I'm better than them. It just springs up and it just comes to your mind and in your heart. Where'd that come from? Pride. Right? So, yeah, we could go on and on with ways to identify proud, being proud, or having pride in our hearts, so many different manifestations of it. But it's important for us to understand that what is said here about the Babylonians is true of all of us. There's a Babylonian in your heart and in mine. You know, you might see the picture of them, you know, in their battle array, marching through an area, destroying and pillaging and killing and all those sorts of things, and think, wow, I'm not like that. But really, you've got that in your heart, just like they did. It may manifest itself in different ways, but at the root of it, it's the same basic sin. It's the sin of pride. We should also contrast this pride with faith. Right? That's part of the contrast of Habakkuk 2:4. How are these two things different? Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The proud man is unrighteous. The man who lives by faith is righteous. How are these two things different? Sure, faith, this one, takes humility, right? Humility and faith go hand in hand, because to have faith, to believe God and to trust in him, is to put yourself in his hands, is to trust him and rely on him rather than yourself. Yeah, absolutely. So faith and humility are sisters. They go together and thus are the opposite of pride. Yeah, I think that's the basic one, so thank you for that. Now, this is a way of life for fallen sinners, right? Pride is a way of life for the Babylonians. This is what fuels their life, sinful pride. And this is what fuels the life of every fallen, sinful human being. As we said, it manifests itself in different ways. It comes out in different ways. But pride is still at the root of the fallen sinner's heart. I realize after many years that this is how I used to live. I didn't used to live by faith, but I lived by pride. It was pride that fueled what I did. You know, I kind of saw it as, well, I just want to be somebody. I want to be somebody important. I want to be significant and all of these things. I want to achieve these things. And the world would have said, that's great. That's wonderful. But really, underneath the surface of that, of all those desires, was that. It was pride. It was a desire to make myself great, to make a name for myself rather than for God and his glory. So obviously, this is not the kind of life that God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live by pride. He wants us to live by faith. We want to walk humbly with him by faith. It's what God is telling Habakkuk to do in the midst of all his questions and uncertainty and confusion. And it's what God tells us to do as well.